Last time on the Skip and Josh podcast.
We were sitting with these other two girls who were definitely tourists. What I saw her do to her smoked meat sandwich disgusted me. The smoked meat sandwich was presented to them. She takes off the bread. She puts salt on it. She puts salt on the smoked meat sandwich.
I don't remember her doing that, but I'll take your word for it.
And then proceeds to put ketchup. That was something. That was something that kind of scarred me for life. I was like, what is going on here?
You're listening to the Skip and Josh podcast with Skip Sherman and Josh Obadia.
Okay, Skip, so on today's episode, we are going to count down our top 7 baseball stadiums that we have been to take in a baseball game. But before we get to that, I wanted to mention, I'm sure you heard, obviously, that Major League Baseball announced that they are going to attempt to have a 60-game season this year. And whether it actually happens or not remains to be seen. But the only reason I bring this up is because when they made the announcement, they announced a bunch of new rules. For example, the rosters are going to be bigger because, you know, spring training isn't as long as it normally is. It's also not happening in the spring.
There's also no minor leagues anymore. They canceled the minor leagues.
Right. So they need to have a sort of pool of players where they can call guys up and send guys down during the season. So each team will now have a taxi squad. And the only reason I mention this is because for as long as I've known you, you have always mentioned taxi squads. And to this day, I don't even know what a taxi squad is.
But is Major League Baseball actually officially calling it the taxi squad?
Yes, I'm looking at the rules here. And one of the new rules is there is a taxi squad. The way it's going to work is, in addition to your roster, you're going to have like 3 other guys that will travel with the team that are not officially on the roster. And so this way, when you're on the road, if you need to call someone up, you can call someone up from the taxi squad.
They probably, I would love to look up the origin of the name taxi squad. It started for me, you mentioned like that you asked me one time, did I know about rotisserie baseball? Like, I've been doing fantasy baseball since 1986, right? So in those early days, we were in this rotisserie league where we had drafted, I forget how many players, let's say 20, but we had a 5-man, what would they call the taxi squad? Those were the reserves, right? So I don't know who came up with it. I don't know the origin of it. It's just, it's one of those baseball terms. Maybe we need to do an episode of Top 7 baseball, like, terminology. Weird terminology.
We could, and it'd be even weirder if we did the French version of the baseball terminology.
Oh, well, I mean, those are completely made up words, like literally made up words by the announcers. Like they decided on this is a word now.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you mentioned the baseball restarting. I am not paying attention to one bit about any of the sports restarting. There's every day is in the news about these are going to be the rules. These are going to be the things. These are going to be the hub cities. This is going to be what's going to be. This is how they're going to play. I'm literally not paying attention to it because it changes every day. So if I actually was interested, I would I'm just going to wait to like the day before they play to figure out what all the rules are, because there's no point now because it's changing every minute.
You're right. You're absolutely right. By the way, you're talking to a person who doesn't have any sports channels. So if anyone's not paying attention, it's me.
You're definitely not. Not only do you not have sports channels, you don't even go on social media. So I don't know where you're getting news from. Do you log on to the TSN website and get news? Is that it?
No, I do have the Score app on my phone, and I have it set to alert me if anything, you know, huge happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there you go.
So that's how I get my news.
All right. So before we get into the top 7 of this week, and I believe it's your topic, so you're going to go first, I just wanted to do some listener mailbag from last week's episode where we talked about Montreal foods.
Mailbag.
So I got a note from Matt Sanderson from Surrey, British Columbia. You know, he does the Nooks and Crannies podcast. He said he loved the episode. I don't think he knows any of those restaurants. I don't know how often he's ever been to Montreal, but he said the episode did make him hungry.
So that means it worked.
Yeah. And Mark from Philadelphia, as you know, originally a Montrealer, he messaged me saying that he said Josh's 2x bagels was brilliant.
So I'm glad he appreciated that.
He liked your strategy of the 2 bagels in the list. And he said the only place he would add in his list that wasn't in either of ours is Mr. Steer.
You know, I completely forgot about Mr. Steer, and someone actually mentioned it to me on the phone about a week ago, and I completely forgot about it. It's a good one, but I don't know who I would have bumped off.
The thing is, I went to Mr. Steer maybe 5 years ago. I took Matthew there and I said, oh, you're going to have this great burger, Mr. Steer. Me and my friends used to go there all the time. And, you know, I built it up for him. And then he had the burger and he was like, yeah, it was okay. So.
But they have amazing fries there too.
Yeah, the Curly Q's. Those are good.
You know, I realized something when I listened to our previous episode. You mentioned how you didn't put any poutine on your list.
Yeah.
Neither did
I. Yeah.
But I think 5 of the places you mentioned on your list all do have poutine.
Yeah, no, you can get. But like I said, I just haven't found the right poutine in Montreal, you know, to be honest. I think I should do like a Montreal poutine like discovery this summer, although there's nothing else to do, you know?
If you don't find the right poutine in Montreal, you're not going to find it anywhere else. You should just go to, called La Banquise, yes, where they have 30 different types of poutine. And I mean, if you can't find one there, then whatever.
Top 7 baseball stadiums the guys have been to.
All right. So are you ready for the top 7 stadiums we've been to?
I am. And I'm going to get started right now with number 7 on my list.
Go for it.
So, I mean, I think number 7 will come as no surprise. It's Olympic Stadium in Montreal, of course.
Oh, come on. No, come on.
I'm joking.
Oh, thank God. Thank God you scared me. I mean, I actually have a note that says big O, no way. Like, on my list. Because, I mean, yeah, it's the stadium we've been to the most. I've been there the most. You've been there the most. How many times have you been there? You just showed me a stack of tickets. There's probably 100 ticket stubs there. But that stadium's garbage. It sucks. It can't be on anyone's list.
The real number 7 on my list is the old Yankee Stadium. So I have a few facts about the old Yankee Stadium. It opened in April of 1923 and closed in September of 2008. The capacity at the stadium was 57,545. And I went there actually, ironically enough, in 2008 during the last season.
Wow.
So I got there, you know, just in time, I guess, just in the nick of time. And of course, I mean, by then, the stadium was kind of a dump, really. And that's why they were getting a new one. But still, it was obviously very cool to be there. The fans are so into the game. You know, I was at a game in May against Baltimore. It was a nothing game. But the fans are into it. And they all chant the names of the starting players on the Yankees in the top of the first inning. And they don't stop yelling the player's name until he tips his cap. It's just, I mean, how could I not put Yankee Stadium on my list? In fact, some people would say the fact that I have it number 7 is ridiculous. I should have it in the top 3. But it's number 7 on my list.
Good start.
Number 6 on my list is a completely different type of stadium. It's Oriole Park at Camden Yards. So this one was built in 1992. So it's clearly not as old. And the capacity there is only 45,000 and change. And that's one of the things I like about it. It's not one of these huge cavernous stadiums like Olympic Stadium or even Yankee Stadium is pretty big, the old one at least. And I think the new one is too. So I was there in 2008 as well. It was the same road trip, actually. I did this road trip where I went to a bunch of stadiums with a few friends, and one of them was Yankee Stadium and one of them was Oriole Park at Camden Yards. So one of the cool things about it is if you're standing like beyond the outfield, just beyond the seats, actually, you can stand there and you can watch the game from there. And they sort of have cobblestones like you would see in old Montreal. And some of the stones have players' names on them, indicating that they hit home runs and that's where they landed. And it was funny because I actually saw Delino DeShields' name on one of the stones. And I said to myself, I can't believe he was able to hit it this far. So that is number 6 on my list.
Right.
Number 5 on my list is an even smaller stadium. It's Progressive Field in Cleveland. It opened 2 years after Oriole Park. It opened in 1994. The capacity is only 35,000 and change. Although, funny enough, the record attendance in the ballpark was obviously during a playoff game in 1997, and it was 45,274, which is 10,000 more than the capacity. So I'm not sure exactly sure how that happens, but
well, you know, sometimes for the playoffs they add sections of seats along the baselines.
This is true, yes.
But that's certainly not 10,000 seats, anyways.
Right.
And I always refer to this stadium as Jacobs Field. I actually wouldn't know the real name, like that you mentioned.
So it's called now Progressive Field, and I was there in 2009, actually,
right,
to see the Kansas City Royals. And another interesting fact, not so much about this stadium, but I was also in Cleveland in 1992, and I saw a game at their old stadium, which is a complete dump.
What was that stadium called? Do you remember? I think it was called Cleveland Stadium, right?
I'm not sure what it was called. Yeah. Yes, I think you're right. I think it was called Cleveland Stadium. Yeah. So I was actually there in 92 and 2009.
All right.
So we're now up to number four, another small ballpark, PNC Park in Pittsburgh. The capacity is 38,000. It opened in 2001, and I was there in 2011. I think I was with you, in fact.
Yes, we were together. 2011, it's that long ago?
Yeah, unless I went to... Actually, this game in 2011 might not have been with you, because I was there twice.
No, I think we were there... I mean, 2011 is possible, but I think it's not that long ago, no?
Well, I was there in 2011 for sure, because that's the ticket stub I was able to find. So, yeah. Another interesting fact about Pittsburgh... I was also at a game in Pittsburgh in 1994 when they were playing in their old stadium, Three River Stadium.
Wow.
And that game actually was 94. J. Bell Bat Day. And it was versus the Montreal Expos.
Oh, my Lord. That is amazing.
Yes.
So you got to see an Expo game on the road in 94. I didn't even realize that.
Actually, I saw two because we went to the Saturday night game and the Sunday afternoon game. So we went to two games in that series.
Wow. Awesome.
Now, of course, the new stadium is much nicer than the old one.
Yeah. Well, it's no comparison, I think.
And I believe in 1994, the MLB All-Star game was in Pittsburgh. I didn't go to that, but it was there.
I think you're right.
So then we go to number three on my list, which now is called Oracle Park in San Francisco. But when I went...
AT&T.
Let's see. Actually, yes, that's right. It was called AT&T Park when I went. I was there in 2014.
How do I remember that? How do I get so stupid?
So it opened in 2000, and the capacity.
It's so much better when the stadiums, Josh, were named after like it should be like Giant Stadium, like I hate it with the sponsors. I just it's so annoying.
Well, it's funny because actually this one in San Francisco has changed names quite often. First, it was Pacific Bell Park.
Right. Oh, Pac Bell. Yes.
Then
right.
it was. That's then right. it was SBC Park.
Oh.
Then it was AT&T Park, and now it's Oracle Park. So it's already.
Imagine you live in that city, like you don't know what to call it anymore. You know.
I mean, it's only been around since 2000, so it's relatively new, and it's already had four different names.
I bet you the people in San Francisco call it Pac Bell. Like honestly.
I bet they do, and So the capacity there, again, it's one of the smaller stadiums, 41,915. And as I said, I was there in 2014. Very nice park. You can see the water. Depending on where you're sitting, you can see the water. And of course, lots of home runs go into the water. And they've got all these people in kayaks trying to catch home runs, especially when Barry Bonds was on the Giants. And, you know, walking around that neighborhood and outside the stadium, they have statues. It's very cool. I would highly recommend that if you have a chance to go see a baseball game there, you should go.
Very good. I was in San Francisco twice in the last like 5-ish years. And the last time I was trying to go to a game and just couldn't materialize.
So next on the list, we're up to the top two. So number two on my list is Wrigley Field in Chicago. Do I even need to say that it's in Chicago? this stadium opened in 1914. And it also actually has had different names. It was first called Wegman Park, and then it was called Cubs Park. And so it's called Wrigley Field now. In August of 1988, they installed lights so they could finally play night games. Mm-hmm. And it's been renovated a bunch of times. Here's a funny note about Wrigley Field. When it was first built, the construction cost was $250,000.
Wow.
Which if you convert that to 2019 dollars, that's about $6.38 million.
That's still not enough because if they had to build a whole new ballpark, it would be like $500 million.
Exactly.
ish. That's a cheap one.
So I've been to Wrigley Field at least twice. Once for a baseball game in 1998 against the Colorado Rockies. And also once for a Paul McCartney concert with you.
Right.
So, you know, and again, walking around the neighborhood, walking around the stadium, there's all kinds of cool things to look at there, of course. You know, they've got the ivy in the outfield, which I can't believe they still have that, because a lot of guys still run into the wall and make catches. And pretty much
it's a brick wall. It's a brick wall.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much any new stadium has like cushion padding so that if you run into the wall, you don't kill yourself. Yeah. And here in Wrigley, they have a brick wall, and it's just, you know, I mean, I know they're never going to change it because of the tradition, but
yeah, it's part of the history of this
thing. It's just dangerous. It's just very dangerous. Mm-hmm. So, and then we get to number one on my list, which is, I'm sure you guessed, Fenway Park in Boston. So the capacity there, it's a very small stadium, only 37,731.
And I believe they've renovated a few times to keep increasing the capacity by little bits, right?
They have renovated. Yes, they have renovated in 1988, in 2002, in 2017. So I don't know if I mentioned, it opened in 1912, so earlier than Wrigley Field. And earlier than Yankee Stadium as well. And the construction cost for Fenway was actually $650,000.
Oh, expensive.
Yeah, which would be $17.2 million in 2019 dollars. I was at Fenway for a game at least twice. Once
I know we were there once together.
Once together, we were there in 1998. We saw the Minnesota Twins.
Uh-huh.
And then I was there again in 2014. Mm-hmm. And I may have been there a third time, but I couldn't find the ticket stub. So whatever, we'll just have to assume it was only twice. And again, they do offer tours of the ballpark, not during the game, of course. I didn't get to take the tour because I didn't show up early enough, but it's, you know, it's great to walk around and look at the statues and the monuments and just read all about it. It's just, there's so much history. And by the way, they have one of the best souvenir shops of any baseball stadium that I've ever been to. I mean, you can get a blue Red Sox shirt, a red Red Sox shirt, a green Red Sox shirt. Like, you name it, you can get it.
Right.
So that is my list of top seven stadiums. There were a lot of honorable mentions that I won't mention, but I was trying to get a minor league stadium on the list.
What's the best minor league stadium that you went to that was almost on the list?
The best minor league stadium that I went to was probably Centennial Field in Vermont. Because
we were there a few times, well, at least once. Yeah,
because you're really close to the players, you can chat with the on deck hitter. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. That's a ball. I mean, that's like almost like a small little field. Yeah,
I mean, the dimensions are legit. Like, you know, you still have to hit it a ton to get it out of the ballpark, but in terms of seating capacity, it's very small. Yes.
Oh, that's fun. So your list is probably stronger than my list. I think you've been to more parks than me. So I feel like your list is maybe a little bit better in terms of quality, let's just say. So my number seven is like probably didn't even factor into your list, which is I don't know what to call it. It's called Guaranteed Rate Field, but I mean, I called it New Comiskey Park, and I think it was also called U.S. Cellular Field. So that's the home of the White Sox. It was opened in 1991. It was called New Comiskey, then U.S. Cellular, and now, like I said, Guaranteed Rate Field. We went there for a weekend and saw a couple of games, and it's, as far as like the new ballparks go, it's really, really nice. Like, it's just a really well-built, it's like a beautiful ballpark when you're inside. The problem is it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. So like when you talked about like the other stadiums where there's stuff all around, there's literally nothing around. The subway leaves you off and you go to the stadium and that's it, which is very nice and convenient, you know?
I guess they wanted to put it somewhat far away from Wrigley because you wouldn't want to have them right next to each other, right?
So yeah, it's like north side versus south side, you know, but I mean, you know, and who knows how that area will develop over the years. I guess we'll see. But so, I mean, they do a good job of like going back in the history of the White Sox with statues and monuments, and which I find is cool. And that's my number seven. Number six is connected to one of yours, because you mentioned that Camden Yards opened in 1992. And I saw a game at Memorial Stadium in Baltimore in 1991. So that's the last year of the original Memorial Stadium, you know, where the Orioles played. Now, first, let me tell you, it was a dump. So then you ask, why is it on the list? Because we had a great time there. And even though it was kind of a dump, you still felt like some kind of part of history, you know, knowing all the great Oriole teams that have played there in the past, the Earl Weaver era, you know, of the Orioles, and knowing also that we were there on the last season of that stadium was kind of cool. And of course, I think you already know, we saw a no-hitter. So Wilson Alvarez of the White Sox, pitching in only his second ever major league game, pitched a no-hitter against the Orioles, who were other than Cal Ripken that year, disgustingly, like, they were horrible. And the other part of the reason why there's a lot of history in that stadium is it was also the home of the Baltimore Colts in the Johnny Unitas, you know, era Colts, right? So there's a lot of, it's the one of those, you know, two sports, you know, famous for two teams that were both really good, you know, in the early days.
I do remember you telling me that you saw a no-hitter, which is very cool.
Yeah. Number five, I have a stadium that I went to more recently, maybe within the last 5 years. That's Citizens Bank Ballpark in Philadelphia. It opened in 2004. Another one of these really beautiful new ballparks. They do, like I said, for the White Sox, they do a great job of celebrating the history of the team, you know, with statues and the restaurants named after some of the old players. You know, there's a statue of Mike Schmidt outside the stadium, and then there's a barbecue place in the stadium called Bull's Barbecue, you know, so that's named after Greg Luzinski. And one of the reasons why I put this so high is because I had fantastic food at this stadium. And you're going to think that I had a cheesesteak or something very Philadelphia, but they have a concession there called Federal Donut. There's another Federal Donut location in the city, which is quite known to Philadelphians. Is Philadelphians a word? Anyways.
It's either that or Philadelphiites.
Yeah.
But I think yours is right.
So Federal Donut has two things. You stand in line, and there was like 30 people in line, and you can only get two things. So I don't know why it takes so long, because you don't have to order. You just go and you say, I want one of this and one of this. So they have a chicken sandwich and they have donuts. And you just say, I want, how many chicken sandwiches do you want? And then how many donuts do you want? Like, that's it. You just give them a number.
What a strange combination.
Yeah, it is. But surprisingly goes well. Number four, it was also on your list. And that was the old Yankee Stadium. And, you know, as you mentioned, it opened in 1923. I forget what year I was there. It was in the 90s, for sure. It was in the Yankees were good, you know, like, for sure. I mean, as they were for most of the 90s. I just remember, like, going on the subway to the stadium, and then the other people, I mean, I wasn't a Yankees fan, but all the people in their Yankee jerseys on the subway, you know, you're all getting off at the same spot. You know, you're all getting off at the same stop, you know, and then when you get out and you come up from the subway there in the Bronx, and it's really kind of a crappy neighborhood. But then, lo and behold, there's Yankee Stadium right in front of you, you know, and you walk in and there's just the excitement of getting to the park. And like you said, the fans, you know, where they're chanting the players' names and they never stop chanting them. And the players have different songs about them and stuff. It's really like a fun, fun atmosphere. And I haven't been to the new Yankee Stadium. I couldn't tell you what it's like, but from all accounts, it's lost a lot of the ambiance. Like, and you see it on TV, right? The new Yankee Stadium with those empty seats. There's right. Always these empty seats right behind, always visible on TV.
Because no. Those seats right behind home plate are they're so expensive. Dollars.
Yeah, they're so expensive that I think they didn't realize like what was going to happen there. But anyways. Number three is also on your list. That's PNC Park in Pittsburgh. It's just such a beautiful stadium. Like I said... of the new stadiums, it's definitely the best. I think the consensus is it's the most beautiful ballpark of the new stadiums that were built, you know, in the last 20 years. They also do a great job of celebrating the history of the team. You know, there's statues of, like, the players. I remember seeing the statue of Willie Stargell. And then, of course, the bridge that you walk over from the city to the stadium, it was renamed to the Roberto Clemente Bridge. That's the yellow bridge that you see in all the photos. I'm just going to read an entry that I found when I was researching, because it puts into words, like, beautifully. PNC Park is widely considered one of the best ballparks in America because of its location, views of Pittsburgh skyline and Allegheny River, timeless design, and clear angles of the field from every seat. And in addition, fans are free to bring in their own food, which is a rarity. So that's pretty amazing. I didn't know that. Like, do you know of other stadiums where you can bring your own food?
Well, I know that Rogers Stadium in Toronto, you're allowed to bring your own food. I don't know. I think San Francisco also, I think we were allowed to bring in our own food, actually, but we didn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly, like, holding fans hostage for food that's, like, ridiculously overpriced is unfair. You know, they're paying enough to get in. Why force them to eat, like,
$12 hot dogs? Not only the cost, but sometimes people have certain food restrictions and there is nothing that they can eat. So they have to bring in their own.
That's true. So my number two was also on your list, and that's Wrigley Field in Chicago. I've only ever been to one game there. Like you mentioned, you know, how old the park is. And I actually did have a note about the first night game, August 8th, 1988. Think about it. All those years when we were kids, I can never understand. Like, I never understood. How come they don't play night games in Chicago? How come the Cubs don't play night games? Imagine me, like, 12-year-old me, like, just, like, flabbergasted. Like, they're only day games. There's just only day games. Like, it's just, it was pretty amazing that it lasted. It's pretty amazing that, like, in the history of the Cubs, it took till 1988 for them to decide that to play night games. That's, like, bizarre.
And by the way, a lot of the Cubs players and management, they claim that part of the reason they could never win a championship was because they played so many day games and it took a toll on them. Now, I mean,
well,
I don't know if that's a valid argument, but, you know, it's just interesting that they didn't win anything until, what was it, just a few years ago.
Yeah. So the game that I went to was a very, very early season game. It was one of the first games of the season. So it was early April and it was freezing. I was cold. And the vendors that come that usually sell you, like, beer and hot dogs and all that stuff, they were coming around selling hot chocolate, and they were also selling hats and gloves. You can buy from a vendor hats because it was so cold. It was really, really cold. And, you know, the same feeling I had, like, when, like I'm going to sort of describe similar of Yankee Stadium. You know, when you take that subway to Wrigley Field and you get off the subway, you don't see the stadium right away. You have to walk a little bit. And then all of a sudden you see that, like, that Wrigley Field marquee, you know, home of the Chicago Cubs. It's so, like, historic. You really feel part of history when you go to Wrigley Field. It's, like, quite spectacular. And it's the only reason why it's not number two on my list is because obviously Fenway Park is number one, but that's just because I've been to Fenway Park so many more times. Like, if I had gone to Wrigley Field and had different experiences, who knows? Like, it could be number one, you know, because I've been there only one time. So,
right, I mean, like, Boston being closer to Montreal, it's easier for you to get to it, obviously.
Yeah, well, like I said, I mean, I've been to Fenway Park. I tried to remember how many times I've been. It's at least five times, and I think it's more. It's five or six. I'm not 100% sure, to be honest, because I went, like, quite often that I can't even remember all the times I went. But I just remember the first time going. And the person I was with, we were, like, going to the game, and I'm like, well, how are we going to get to the game? And they're like, well, we're going to walk. I'm like, what? So, like, we walked to the game, and then I was like, well, where's the park? And they were like, well, it's right next to us. Like, you're next to the park right now. And I couldn't, like, wrap my head around how there's, like, this historic park just sort of right in the middle of the city. Like, and it's just a building. It's like, imagine you're just walking and there's the building. That's the park. You know, you can't see in, but that's the park, you know? And I mean, like I said, I went to tons of games there and just always had a great time. You mentioned the souvenirs shop in the stadium, but, like, my memory is that everything that's happening outside of the stadium, along the different gates, you have to enter by different gates to get into depending where your seat is, but there's some incredible souvenir stores right on the street outside of Fenway Park that have all kinds of amazing stuff, you know? Not necessarily the merchandise you were saying, like, all the different colored shirts, but, like, the different kind of memorabilia, like photographs, posters, that kind of stuff, you know? Yeah, so, I mean, you get t-shirts there that you can't get. I mean, I'm sure it happens in every city, but I've seen t-shirts there outside of the stadium that you can't get inside because they're, like, bootlegged and stuff. You know, like,
actually, there was a t-shirt that I was considering buying and I regret not getting it. It just said Green Monster, but it wasn't spelled properly. It was spelled as if you had a Boston accent. So it wasn't Monster ER. It was Monster, like
Monsta.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I used to have a t-shirt with a cartoon picture of Mo Vaughn. Remember Mo Vaughn?
I do.
It had a cartoon picture of Mo Vaughn, and it said in like Red Sox writing, "The Hunt for Red October," because obviously it's probably the movie came out around then.
I think I remember that t-shirt, actually.
Yeah, I remember that.
I do.
There's all kinds of stuff. Well, have you ever listened to that 30 for 30 about Yankees suck, right?
Yes.
It's amazing. Oh, my God. So, anyways, that's my list.
Great list.
I think yours is stronger. Like I said, you went to more places, but that's my list.
And I've been to some of the ones that you mentioned that I didn't. Been to those. Yeah. Like, I've been to the one in Chicago. I've been to the one in Philadelphia. I've also been to, by the way, I'm embarrassed to say, I've been to Nationals Park in Washington, D.C. There was no way I was putting it on my list, but, you know.
I'm sure it's nice.
Yeah.
No? I'm sure it's a nice park, no?
Yeah, because it's relatively new, so what's not to like?
Yeah. I was thinking of some minor league parks to put on my list, but I couldn't think of any, like, that could make the cut. Like, obviously, like we said, we went to Vermont. I've been to minor league games in Buffalo, which was a nice little stadium for a minor league team. Las Vegas, we went together.
We saw Vlad Guerrero in Las Vegas.
Yeah, we saw Vlad Guerrero in Las Vegas. The amazing thing is we get into that game and it's a day game and it didn't dawn on us. Like, and then someone explained to us there's literally like 5 day games the entire year because they can't play during the day because it's too hot, right?
Yeah, I didn't realize how hot it is there.
Yeah, this happened to be one of those day games. And then we get in and then we notice that, well, we talk to the ticket person and they're like, no, you can't get this. You cannot sit in the front. The first 10 rows are not, the seats are not sold because, or 7 rows, because you're going to be in the sun and you're going to die. So everybody sits 10 rows back in the shade.
So it looks like if you're watching it on television, I don't even know if those games are televised, but if they were televised and you're watching it, it looks empty because the seats closest to the dugout and closest to home plate are empty.
Yeah. Yeah. And then as the sun sort of moves, people could move down one row at a time, you know, but it's just, you will die if you sit in that heat for hours.
You will. Yeah.
So that's the list, Josh.
All right. I love it.
You just made the list.
The Skip and Josh podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. If you listen to the show through Apple Podcasts, please leave a review. To interact with the show, send an email to skipandjoshshow@gmail.com. Follow the show on Twitter @skipandjosh and go to facebook.com/skipandjosh to like the show page. To see links mentioned on today's episode, go to skipandjosh.com. And now for some final thoughts from the guys.
So you've probably heard by now that the NHL, who also is going to try and finish their season in about a month from now or something, for some reason they decided to hold their draft lottery, even though the season hasn't technically ended and they don't know which teams are not going to make the playoffs. Yeah. So I'm not really sure why they were in such a hurry to do the draft lottery. I guess they could have waited until, you know, the next 8 teams get eliminated and then done it. But anyway, they decided to do it. I don't know why. And sure enough, lo and behold, the team that is going to pick first is unknown because it's one of the 8 teams that is still alive.
Now they have to make a second draft lottery.
Exactly.
Who gets number one.
Exactly. Yeah. So again, they could have just waited and just done it once, but who knows? And now, by the way, you could have like a really good team that gets eliminated in this first round that gets the first overall pick.
You could have a really big problem too, because if they don't play any games, because that first pick is going to come from one of the first 8 teams that's eliminated in the play-ins. Right?
Correct. Which could be, by the way, Pittsburgh. Don't play any games?
What if the games don't happen? What if, like, they're still theoretical at this point? I know they've picked the hub cities yesterday. They talked about it and everything. But, like, what if there's no games? Then what happens? Then they have to do it all over again?
Well, if there's no games, then there should be no draft either.
Well, it's not fair to the players who are draft eligible. What's going to happen?
The players that are draft eligible, what's the point in picking them if they have no games to play? Because there's not going to be another season either. Like, if they don't finish this one, they won't start the next season either.
Well, that's true also. You're right. I guess there's, like I said at the beginning, there's just too many question marks. I don't even want to start thinking about this kind of stuff, you know, to be honest. It's like, you can't. Remember, like, I'm going to give you a quote, and this is going to, you're not even going to realize, like, what I'm talking about here. But, like, we used to do the hockey pool. We used to draft our hockey pool. We used to get together in person with 10 friends and pick our players and everything. We had a mutual friend, Kevin Wolf, right? Mm-hmm. And we would look, we would like be drafting, and then I'm like, are you gonna take so and so? I'm like, he's holding out, or they say he might be injured in training camp. And he's like, I don't pay attention to that. I just draft the best guy. That stuff's going to work itself out. No one ever is not going to play because they're holding out. It happens once in a lifetime. And it's still true, right? Because that came to mind yesterday when I was thinking about what's going to happen with the NBA, the NFL, whatever. You can't think about it. Just like, let's just see what happens. You can't lose your sleep over what ifs. You
know? You're right. Although, by the way, this year there are a lot of players that have opted not to play when leagues come back because they're afraid of getting sick, which is completely legitimate. But those players have actually said they are not playing.
And in the NBA, there's even more players that say that they're not going to play, and even for other reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit of a mess. Like I said, we're going to see. So I have two very short things for you, Josh, to end the show with. I told you I watched the show Treadstone.
Yes, you did tell me.
Okay. Now, I've never been so upset when I got to the end of Treadstone. So the show ends, the last season, the last episode of season one, we watch it. Nothing is resolved. There is no conclusion to the show whatsoever. Everything is up in the air. You don't have any resolution whatsoever. Right away, we Google when is Treadstone season two coming out. What's the first thing that comes up? There's no season two. It was canceled.
What? What do you mean?
So apparently, the show aired a couple of years ago or last year on USA Network. It's only on Amazon Prime for international viewers like us. So USA Network didn't pick it up for season two. They just sold the rights to season one to Amazon. And I guess maybe the fans of the show can hold out that like it'll pick up an international audience and maybe have enough demand to make a season two. But I'm not holding my breath. But if I would have known that there was no season two, I don't think I would have ever watched season one, knowing that would end it.
Or maybe there's only one season, but at least they resolve it at the end of that season.
Well, exactly. Maybe you're right. Maybe final episode, something changes. But believe me, it wasn't resolved. The other thing I wanted to tell you about is this is really short. And I'm going to send you this link and I'm going to put it on our website. There is this video on YouTube that I came across. It's 4 hours and 45 minutes long.
Who has that kind of attention span?
The same thing loops over and over and over for 4 hours and 45 minutes. And it's Oh Yeah from the Entourage opening credits.
So someone spent all this time putting this loop together and then posting it.
You know what I'm talking about when they say, Oh Yeah. Like,
I think I do. I haven't watched the show in a while, but
anyways,
I think I do.
It's literally like 1-2 seconds from the opening theme of Entourage. Over and over and over. I'm going to send it to you. It's the most annoying thing in the world.
That seems like the biggest waste of time of all time.
It is.
How many views does that thing have?
18,000.
Really?
Yes, really.
I mean, I'm sure 17,999 of those people clicked on it, watched 2 seconds, and then turned it off.
Oh, you can't watch it for more than 1 second. It's going to destroy your brain. It's so annoying. All right, Josh. That's the episode. So next week, we have to decide what topics we're going to do next week. We're not going to tease it. I don't even think we're sure yet.
Right. No, we can't divulge because we could change our mind at the last minute.
Yeah. Anyway, so next week, again, maybe sports related, maybe not. We'll see. Right?
Agreed. Yeah.
All right. Talk to you next time.
Okay. Bye-bye.